This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. The NBA is moving the 2017 All-Star Game away from Charlotte to protest HB2. The decision comes after state lawmakers didn't make enough changes to the law to satisfy the league. Could be the single largest blow to the state's economy since the law was passed in March. Many businesses across a wide spectrum have stopped doing business in North Carolina because of HB2, and it is likely to be a topic of conversation on the campaign trail. Donald Trump made his case for the presidency at this week's Republican National Convention. Hillary Clinton takes her turn next week at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. How will each candidate try to appeal to North Carolina voters in the next 3 months? The state is likely to have one of the closest, if not the closest, race for president. WNC Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff DeBeery has been exploring the question and joins me now. Hello, Jeff.
Greetings, Frank.
HB2, let's start with that. What's the NBA say about why they pulled the All-Star game from Charlotte?
NBA wants to promote a culture of inclusivity, and this does not do that. It's really as simple as that. The NBA came out within 24 hours of this law being passed in a special session back in March, said it was going to be problematic for them to move forward with the 2017 All-Star game in Charlotte. Were significant changes not made? Legislature came and went. We had the short session. Significant changes, as the NBA saw it, were not met. There was part of an HB2 tweak, but it did not deal with the bathroom provision. And, yesterday the NBA comes down and decides that they announce that the All-Star game, in fact, is moving. And this is a big decision.
Well, that's the big, because there are many businesses across a wide spectrum. We're talking about business, entertainment,
right.
The tech industry, businesses large and small, a wide variety of ideologies, mm-hmm. a wide spectrum of businesses. But this by far is the largest, right?
400 jobs from PayPal is pretty significant. If you think about 400 people making 30, or I don't remember what the median salary was right. going to be there, but you're talking about, a change to a community, a change to a broad area. That's a longer lasting impact. But the NBA All-Star Game, according to a research study that was done a few years ago by the University of New Orleans, after New Orleans hosted an All-Star Game, estimated the economic impact at about $100 million. Now, those economic impact studies are to be taken with some level of salt on sure. top of it. But it's significant, the number of people that come in. And it's also worth noting, on top of being a big-time money event, this is an international event. It was in Toronto this past February. It's been in New York 5 times. It's been all over the place. It is a cultural event for hoops fans, for the African-American community, for the hip-hop community. The NBA All-Star Game it's not the Olympics, it's not the Super Bowl, but it's a tier below that. It is a huge sporting event, and it's not coming here. We should note it has been in Charlotte before 26 years ago, but not coming in February.
But another business that says, there have been a wide variety of reasons. Some businesses have pulled out for reasons of conscience, saying this law is discriminatory. Others say this is not a good business environment. It's bad for our business. But for whatever the reason, the NBA is now on the list of businesses pulling out of North Carolina, not entirely, but certainly the All-Star Game. Governor Pat McCrory was on NPR affiliate WFAE in Charlotte this morning. Here's what he had to say.
I'm disappointed. I strongly disagree with their decision. And to put it bluntly, I think it's total PCBS. And it's an insult to our city. It's an insult to our state. And I think it sets a dangerous precedent of the corporate sports and entertainment elite basically asking for a quid pro quo on legislation, or else they'll deny their service. And I don't think that's the way we should do business, and I don't think that's the way the political system should run.
Governor Pat McCrory on WFAE Charlotte Talks this morning. The governor thinks it's not a way to do business, but he's been trying to attract business to this state, right?
He has. He ran 4 years ago as a business-friendly candidate, wanted to fix the problems of bureaucracy in government, as he said, that had prevented business from growing here, that had prevented corporations from coming. And listen, the governor has things he could spend more time talking about from his vantage point of lowering the corporate tax rate and seeing unemployment drop. There are economic factors he could harp on. But this whole HB2 saga, scenario, fiasco, call it what you want, has backfired in many ways. It does not look good from a business standpoint, and we're going to hear a lot more about it, presumably from Roy Cooper as much as anybody, over the next 3 months.
All right. Well, let's talk about the national campaign, of course. Governor McCrory in a race for re-election right now, but the presidential race has the spotlight at the moment. The Republican National Convention just wrapped up. Hillary Clinton will launch the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. We'll hear from her all next week. What about in North Carolina? What is it take? Because I think this is going to be in a very important state, right?
Indeed. 2008, only Missouri was a closer presidential race. 4 years ago, it was just Florida that was decided by fewer votes. And this year, it's going to be, by current polls, as close as any. A recent poll from Public Policy Polling has it a toss-up, with each candidate, leading candidate, getting 42% of the vote. And this is something that, as a longer-time resident of North Carolina than I am, you lived here when it was a Republican stronghold. And that really started after 76, and for three decades, this was a place where Republicans campaigned and won, and it was, you know, largely over by early September. That has changed, partially because of a change in demographics.
All right. Tom Jensen, you talk with from Public Policy Polling, who talks about a little bit about that demographic change.
So many of the folks in these suburban areas 10, 15 years ago lived in blue states that came from Connecticut, came from New York, came from California, came from Ohio, that sort of thing. So that dynamic's a big part of how we went from, in 2004, being a state that Democrats wrote off on Labor Day, to now being somewhere where we know that the campaigns are going to be here all the way to the end.
Tom Jensen of Public Policy Polling talking about what might decide the presidential election in North Carolina in November. Could be very close.
And when he mentions suburbia, he's talking specifically about suburban Wake County, suburban Mecklenburg County, and pollsters and strategists and the people that live and breathe this stuff have found that these are where the votes can be shifted from R to D, D to R, maybe even Libertarian to R or D. They're largely independents. They're oftentimes mothers. And these are the folks that Clinton and Trump are trying to win over the next 115 days.
Given the way this has become just a highly personal struggle, the presidential race, and kind of a personality-based campaign, what will it take to win over those swing voters? You talked to some political strategists in the state.
Yeah, I did. I talked to Gary Pierce. Might hear from him in a moment. Also Carter Wren, longtime Republican strategist. And Carter talked about going after Hillary Clinton. And there are a couple of ways to do it. And he shared this.
One way for Trump to win is they just have to dislike him less than they dislike Hillary. So driving up Hillary's negatives, all these attacks you're seeing, that's one strategy. The other strategy is there probably needs to be some positive introduced about Trump that gives the undecided voter some comfort with him. They're never going to embrace Trump, but they need to be a little more comfortable with him than they are right now.
Longtime Republican strategist Carter Wren, who spoke with Jeff Tiberi from WUNC. You know, what does it take if you think about particularly a figure like Donald Trump, mm-hmm. the issues in terms of continuity, ideas in this campaign have been in very short supply. This
yes.
has to do with a personality who you either believe is going to lead us into the new future or lead us into destruction. Comes that way, really. Haven't people decided? I mean, it's curious to me that sort of what you would do now that we know everything about Donald Trump and most of what we think we know about Hillary Clinton, what would make people change their mind?
That's a good question. I think you and I are probably more tuned into this than some. Perhaps these are people who are not locked into this to the extent that we are. I spoke with Gary Pierce, who's a former advisor to Governor Jim Hunt, and one of the things he talked about with Trump, and that has changed for him, was this law and order component of his candidacy, and you know, returning us as a nation to a place of safety. If it is you right. believe that we're in a dangerous spot, and he said that law and order piece he thought a few months ago would play well, but he was concerned he thought that it would play well for Trump a couple of months ago. But over time, that has shifted. His perspective on that has shifted. He said, you know, he wonders now if voters are going to want somebody who has more of a steady hand.
You talked to him, too, about the wild card, because clearly something can happen between now and then that changes the dynamics. And for a long time, you know, Gary Pierce was thinking, well, if there's another terrorist act, if something threatens us and scares us. He was telling you that would probably play into the hands of Donald Trump.
Now I wonder if it's more like, man, this is a very unpredictable and scary world. And the one thing I want in the White House is a steady hand, because we can get in a war. We could get in a nuclear war. People look back to 9/11 and George Bush's decision to invade Iraq, which now was a disastrous decision. You know, and people look and say, that's the kind of thing a president decides. Now, I may not like either one of these candidates, may not trust what they say to always be true, but who do I trust with the fate of the country and the world?
Democratic strategist Gary Pierce talking about what could swing voters one way or the other in this upcoming election. So, Jeff, and the other interesting thing is, if we talk about, you know, swing voters, that you have found, and I think you said it earlier, is that these suburban areas in our large metropolitan regions are really going to be the focus of a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm. And as Carter pointed out in the conversation I had with him yesterday, these largely women and mothers do not fit into political boxes. They are religious, they're fiscally conservative, but they also very much believe in public education and Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security. So these are not folks that clearly align with Trump or Clinton, and they'll be getting information from 500 places over the next 3 months, and they'll make their decision at some point.
Stay tuned. WUNC's Capital Bureau Chief Jeff Tiberi. Thank you, Jeff.
Talk to you soon.
Jeff, just ahead, we're going to look at a new book that examines a juvenile reformatory's role in the first two decades of North Carolina's forced sterilization program. We'll talk about that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.